This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Washington, D.C. at the Federation for American Immigration Reform Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. Big thank you to them for having us up here. It has been a heck of a week in Washington. We're going to take a trip from Washington in a second and go to Montgomery with State Senator Chris Elliott. But first, let's check in with Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, man. How you doing up there?
I'm doing good. Although I will say with the conversations up here and what I'm seeing, I'm more and more interested every second in more precious metals. What are the prices looking like for gold and silver this week?
They dipped a little bit earlier this week, and they're already starting to recover. Now, that being said, silver is about the cheapest it's been in a long time, hovering just a little bit over $22 an ounce. Gold is still in the low 1700s. I've got plenty of stock in, a lot of more stuff on the way in. So if you've been thinking about it and if you've been following the news and seeing some of the craziness going on out there, definitely not a bad idea to turn some paper into a hard asset.
Yeah, and describe to people, too, that these precious metals comes in more forms than just the ingots they're picturing. I mean, there's collectibles and coins. Give them an idea what's available.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because so many people get their idea of what you're collecting, what you're buying off of all these movies we've seen over the years. And it's not a giant brick of gold or a giant brick of silver, even though that'd be pretty cool. A lot of these pieces are everything from 1 gram, a tiny little piece of gold, all the way up to a 10-ounce or 100-ounce silver bar. Many of these have beautiful designs, beautiful patterns. There's Disney, there's Star Wars, there's other pop culture themes, or just the normal beautiful designs. You're buying a little piece of artwork sometimes made out of gold or made out of silver, and you're just paying for the metal price. Can't be beat.
All right. Tell folks how to come find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com. Or if you want to check out some of that stuff, like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. If you want to hear more about gold or silver, every Tuesday night, FM Talk 106.5, Two Guys and Some Change, or check out that website, twoguysandsomechange.com.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, buddy.
You too. There's Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let me point out, too, that one of our sponsors here as we have come to Washington is our friends at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes with the largest selection of gun safes on the Gulf Coast. Shop your local independent safe store. Lock up your valuables in a safe from Mike Ward's. They deliver up to 50 miles for one low price. Those are Liberty Safes, like what I have, made in America. That's what Liberty's all about. Big thank you to Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. And let's check in from Washington now to another capital, our state capital, Montgomery. State Senator Chris Elliott joining us now. Hey, thanks for your time.
Happy to be on.
I know it's like obviously a very busy day. Special session is in, and today was y'all's day in the Senate, right, to be looking at the prison bill.
It will be committees this morning, both General Fund Committee and actually the Judiciary Committee is gaveling in right now to deal with a measure, and then we'll likely have those on the for a second reading shortly on the floor at about 3 o'clock. And then they will be up for final passage tomorrow on the floor.
Okay, you and I have been talking about this a long time, so let's score it from, 1 to 10. 10 being for sure it gets it done, 1 being no way. Where are we?
Well, the question is, what is it? We've got
a prison really bill that keeps the DOJ from taking us into receivership. There you go. That's what I want. Yeah. Tell me that.
There you go. I think that bill gets those bills, that tranche of bills, if you will, gets done. So it's a funding measure, two funding measures really, and then a building construction measure. But those will pass. I don't see any problem. The concern was them passing downstairs in the House. They did that with almost no Democrat support, which is very frustrating. Lots of work done with the Democrats to try to get a bipartisan bill, but at the end of the day, they just didn't. They didn't. The House Democrats did not go along. It's very frustrating. So. But I think we'll have good support from our Senate colleagues, our Senate Democrats, and I expect that the measures will pass. And again, at a huge cost savings from what was proposed under Governor Ivey's lease plan, which would have totaled some $3 billion. And instead, this plan total all in is probably closer to about $1.2 billion, which is still a lot of money, but a huge savings from what was proposed before.
Yeah, and just to, I know we've probably talked about this a lot, and people are like, yeah, I know. But for the people who don't, if we went into receivership, the feds would command us to, number one, let people out, but number two, to build these facilities, and then but we would have to cut the check, right? I mean, it's not like the feds would come in, take over, and cut the check. We, the taxpayers of Alabama, still would pay.
You are correct, and that would be unfathomably expensive. because at that point, when you've got certain court orders that you must comply with, money is not their concern. We are trying to address the federal concerns and the federal issues, but we are trying to do them in the most cost-effective manner for the taxpayers. If the feds do it on their own, they are not worried about cost-effectiveness. So this is a very expensive operation that we're running here. It's a crucial one. It's a crucial public safety operation. But yes, you are correct. This could be orders of magnitude more expensive if we simply let the feds handle it.
Let's talk about specifically what it looks like for the prison build in our area. So, right, let's talk Holman. Let's talk about Atmore. This idea that it's going to still be on state land. Are we talking about building, like, right there next to the current facility, just building the other prison next to it? Or do you understand? Have they made that clear what that would look like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have and the legislation doesn't, and frankly should not, say specifically where this is going, right? I mean, those are geotechnical questions and engineering questions, et cetera. But we do have the land. And we do need to use that. That's another improvement over the governor's initial proposal, is to go ahead and build an on-state land that we own. So it will be there in Escambia County on that facility, and it will be a 4,000-bed facility. You know, phase one of the bill basically is broken into three phases. Phase one is basically a bed replacement program, and that is to take the dorm room beds that we have now and transform those into cells. One of the problems, the big problems we have, both with prisoner and inmate safety and also correctional officer safety, is these folks are housed in giant dorm rooms, which are nothing more than a boiling pot ready to boil over, and often it does. I toured a facility this morning in Wetumpka, and they are just, you know, you can just tell this could be a problem at any given moment. When you divide these folks up, increase prisoner safety, which is the federal government's concern, right? And you increase officer safety, correctional officer safety, which is my concern. And we keep people in jail, which is my primary concern.
Well, and I want people to picture that, too. I mean, that in that dormitory setting or whatever the right term is for it, you could have, I don't know, the number that's in one dormitory. But if all those people are rioting or fighting or all that, you've got to take them all on versus if it's cell by cell. Right. You could lock down this section and deal with this other section. Am I kind of is that what the benefit is?
That's exactly correct. And you're right. If you think about it, these are people that have largely been convicted of violent crimes. And we are taking violent people right now and stacking them in dorm rooms like Cordwood. And I mean, hundreds of people in some cases in one room, and trying to manage that with only a few corrections officers. And that is very problematic. And I'll tell you where it's also problematic from an officer safety standpoint is we can't find people that want to do these jobs. We've increased pay. We've increased benefits. We had almost $25 million in just overtime last year in the Department of Corrections because we are so short-staffed, not because we're not paying competitive wages, but because the job is so darn awful that we can't find anybody to do it. And so the prison construction and the prison safety issue, making these places safer, is a way to solve some of our prison staffing issues and our management issues as well.
Yeah, and that's good. We need to say it because it's not a dream. I mean, it's not a dream job for most folks, you know. And if you look at the wages paid on things, I mean, there's a lot of other jobs you go take before you take that one.
I talked to a corrections officer one time, Sean, and this was back when we were still in Afghanistan, and he was getting off. He was coming back to his job off of active duty and serving in Afghanistan. And you know what he did? He re-upped to go back to Afghanistan because he felt safer there than he did doing his job as a corrections officer. Now, if that's not instructive to you, I don't know what.
Yeah, it is instructive. On the financing portion of this, too, and I want to say, too, that let me go back to this, because you had talked with me, was it a year ago or something, when you first mentioned that Perry County facility? Because that's in, you said this is a good idea, the state could use this. This is part of the plan, right, the Perry County facility purchase?
It is. And when we start talking about hundreds of millions of dollars for a new prison, and then we talk about purchasing a Perry County facility for $15 to $18 million, you've got to understand what a huge cost savings that is, what a huge value that is to the people of the state of Alabama, because it's got capacity for 750 inmates and then room to grow there as well if we want to. And we've got a buyer who wants to offload the prison. It was built as a private prison and never really used at all. And it's just set there and languished. So we have an opportunity to purchase. We've had that opportunity to purchase that prison, and we're going to do that. It's going to provide us tremendous transitional space in the interim as we move through this construction process. And then it will ultimately provide some lower security prison beds that will be needed as pardon and paroles operates along with DOC to move prisoners and transition prisoners back into the real world after they serve their time.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be discussed, too, because sometimes people say, well, that's just being, yeah, you're going easy on prisoners and all that. And I think you're missing, because I look at the stats here for recidivism in the state of Alabama. That's just a smart move to get somebody a trade, get something. Don't just throw somebody back into society with no way to make a living. Then they end up back in prison.
Well, they do. And there are a couple of stumbling blocks coming right out the gate that we need to look at, right? Like, hey, do you have a copy of your birth certificate? Because that's the first thing you're going to need if you're going to get a, you know, you're going to get a job, an ID. Do you have a copy of your Social Security card? Do you have a non-driver's identification card? I mean, you know, handing somebody $5 and a bus ticket, you know, and a clean set of clothes, the first thing you're going to have to go do is go get those documents before they can get a job and just or a lease or anything and prove who they are. Let's go ahead and at least give them a step in the right direction so that they don't end up earning money and finding shelter in some way that's not legal, which all too often happens.
Okay, let's talk about money on this and the funding mechanisms. This is split up between some federal money that I do want to talk about and the bonding. Can you tell us, like, as of today, where does it look like the breakdown? How much comes from what? How do we achieve the total cost on this?
So three different tranches of money, and that is about $135 million out of cash from the state. Okay,
Is that coming out of the general fund?
It is, yes, sir. Okay. All of this will come out of the general fund.
Does it come out of existing corrections budget? Because I mean, we always talk about how earmarked the general fund budget is. What, 93% earmarked? I mean, how do we find that kind of money?
This is carry forward money that has not been spent. Some of it is correction money, but also is money that was not budgeted. It's revenues okay. that we didn't plan on, right? Okay. So when we budgeted, and when you budget in your house, you know it's a good idea to maybe budget a little bit less than what you think you're going to make that year, right? And especially when you're like a state government, and you're worried about, hey, what are sales tax revenues going to do? What's property tax revenue? Mm-hmm. What are we expecting? And a lot of that's based on economic performance. And of course, the last couple of years, we've been basing budgets on COVID and worried about what COVID's going to do to our economy. So the short answer is we didn't spend all the money that we took in, so we have extra. That's a good indication of conservatives running Alabama's government, and it hasn't been like that. But for only about 10 years or so, and it's a good change, and I'm thrilled with that.
Okay, so there's that one. So there's the general fund tranche of money. Then you said the next one is?
The next one is $400 million from the American Rescue Act. So that is federal money that is coming to the state of Alabama. I want to make it clear that that portion of that money is designated for lost revenues. Okay, so this is demonstrated lost revenues due to the coronavirus that would have gone where? To the general fund. So we don't necessarily.
How do we demonstrate that, though? Like, because if we had budgeted and we didn't end up like some of these blue states and all that, how do we make that case?
There are a lot smarter people than I that do those calculations, but they're okay. Looking back historically at what revenues would have been. The Treasury has set up a model in order to outline exactly how you have to demonstrate that and what they're looking for from a record standpoint. But I'll tell you that the new finance director, Bill Poole, has said, and our financial folks in the State House has said, this is the number that we're demonstrating, and the feds have accepted that. And frankly, Sean, the money's in the bank already. It's okay. Sitting there right now. So that's the second tranche of money. And then the third is a bond issue. And the bond issuance is up to $785 million. I honestly don't think we'll end up borrowing quite that much. I think it'll be less than that. But it's borrowed money. And as you know, and as your listeners know, there is no cheaper time to borrow money than right now. The rates are as low as they have ever been historically. Now, we have put off maintaining our prison facilities. We have put off investing in them. And that's how we've ended up in this spot. It is time, and we must go ahead and take this step in order to avoid everything we talked about in the opening, But if you've got to borrow money, now's the time. Now's the time to do it. And we're borrowing significantly less, A, than what we would have to for the total cost of this, because we've got so much cash in the deal up front. And also, we're borrowing a whole lot less because the scope of what we're doing and the total cost of it is less than half of what the governor's lease plan was originally.
Are we going to have somebody loan it to us, though? I mean, on this bond, because this is one of the worries and things of the discussion up here in Washington, too, about that with Alabama folks, is if something happens like happened with the on the executive branch on governor's plan, where they just won't, whether it be activists or whatever, they get to these banks, it won't lend us the money on this.
I don't think that's going to be a problem, and I'll tell you why. It's universally well accepted that one of the functions in government is to operate correctional facilities, right? That's something we have to do. It is a public safety issue. Most of the problems I was seeing and what I was hearing from the private prison deal was just that. It was a private, for-profit prison. And while it was going to be staffed by DOC employees, the problem was that those banks did not want to be tied to a private, for-profit prison company. And that was really the issue with the bond. So what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing from our folks that monitor the bond markets is that, no, we will not have a problem floating this $785 million bond.
Okay. That's good, because I've been hearing, you know, rumblings other way, so I want to clear that up. And then the other portion of this is, I always ask you this stuff, when? Like, so this passes, y'all get this done in special. I think, you've got 12 days to do it, but looks like it might be faster. When do the people get out there with the hard hats, right? When do we start building this? And is there a timeline that you know of that if we build by this point, then DOJ, I mean, if y'all pass this, does DOJ just step back, take a step back and let us get to it? Or is there going to be a timeline that they say these have to be built by?
No, there is a timeline associated with this expenditure, not just obligation, but the expenditure of the American Rescue Act money, that $400 million number that we put out there earlier. So we want to make sure we've got that extended I think we've got about 2.5 years to do that. We want to make sure we've got that done in time so that we can utilize that money. To answer your first question, when is the dirt flying? And I think you'll see that in six months or so.
Really?
It's quick. The two contractors that are lined up in this are really leftovers from the competitive process that the governor went through from the prison lease concept, and they are teed up and ready to go. And I think you'll see that be a benefit here early on to get started and get moving quickly and get finished quickly. To answer your other question about the Fed, is this a panacea? The answer is no. Do I think the Fed still have concerns? Yes, but okay. They will see this. And it is my hope and my expectation that they will see this as a very big step in the right direction. And the services that will be provided in these prisons, a very big step in the right direction. I do not think that the federal government wants to take us over. I do not think the federal government wants us, wants to release prisoners. I think the federal government wants us to treat our prisoners better is from a safety standpoint, right? To make sure that they are safe, and they are owed that. They really are.
I agree.
They are still human beings, and they do. They should not live in fear of rape and murder every day as we keep them under lock and key. That's not just. So if we are headed in that direction, I think that buys us a lot of time and good grace with the federal government, the DOJ, and my expectation is that this will get us a long, long way towards solving that.
All right. Well, we'll catch up when I get back on this. I appreciate you giving us an update. State Senator Chris Elliott, our guest. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean. Have a good trip.
Hey, will do. There he is, and we're coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. And live from Washington, Midday Mobile at the Federation for American Immigration Reforms Hold Their Feet to the Fire event, which, by the way, as I scan we're right here in the shadow of the Capitol. It's really, we're on top of the building where Fox News and NBC are here in Washington, and they have like a big open patio here on top of the building, and can look right over the Capitol. But one thing that struck me too is the number of helicopters flying around maybe you've heard them over the mics as they've been open here, that just constantly are a buzz over Washington. It's something. The amount of police sirens and just really busy helicopter traffic, it's something. All right, before we wrap up, I want to see read a couple texts here. Derek had said something about the 650, and I think he's talking about the plan here to have to report. I think it's $600. It used to be that it was $10,000 right before they triggered a reporting to the feds of money transferred in the bank. Well, I've got an interview coming up on Tuesday with Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's introducing legislation to push back against this. We'll talk with him on Tuesday's show about that. Also, Terry, how about this? And Terry, who has reason to know, says the FBI 2020 crime stats are in. Armed citizens beat law enforcement officers 343 to 298 in helping criminals do the room temperature challenge. I've never called it that. I always talk about room temperature, Terry, but that's how about that? So more bad guys shot by armed citizens than law enforcement in a year. That's something. All right, be online here just a little bit, too, if you want to check out some pictures from around Washington, some of the things we're doing. I'll post those up on the Twitter feed and on our Facebook feed as well. All right, thanks, y'all. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.